Wonderful. I hope I don't. Maybe that won't rub off on me in this message. And I'll just start preaching and then I'll come back to it in a minute. Oh, you seem like a happy crew today. And I'm glad. And then I had forgotten about the, whatever you're calling it, the potato bar. That's 2 weeks. Or tater bar, is that, yeah? Yeah, you know, Evelyn hadn't been back since we said tater, so I don't, you know. She what? Okay. Well, I want her to come eat taters. And I have not had a church potato tater bar. That's, are you calling it a tater bar, really? Okay. Please don't think I'm just, you know, uncouth. It is called a tater bar. And I've never had a church tater bar in all my whole thing. That's a new one. I've had all kinds of other things, and I've had things I couldn't even name. We've had foods that I didn't know what they were. And, you know, and I've had to ask people, what is this? You know, and then, you know, one asked, what is this? And it was like, what? And it's this. Oh, that was for Kitty. I got it mixed up. So, you know, anything can happen. So anyway, I made that up. I just thought it'd be funny. We're going to look in Romans, very, very familiar passages today. And we've been doing that. We go to these familiars and say, let's renew the basics. Now, as we do that, and I want you to know, I was given a very, very wonderful gift. And Johnny and thank you so much. They gave me The Chosen, and I haven't seen it. I just don't get it. I don't have it. And has anyone? How many have seen it? A lot of you. Well, if you haven't, I would say do what you can to get it. And now, if you want to see the scripture very much lived out on the screen, now there's dialogue. Yeah, there's a movie, you've got to have dialogue and things, but the events and what occurred are just incredible. I did not get into it, and I'll tell you why. A lot, and I mentioned this, I think, but a lot of Christian movies seem to be lacking. A lot of them are kind of hokey, if you know what I mean. They're movies, and we watch them because we feel like we're, you know, somehow compelled to do it or we're being loyal. This one's not hokey, and it's like, wow, and it's beautiful scenes in there, and that turning the water into wine. And I was telling them back there, I said, I can't watch it. I get all these phone calls and stuff, and it's like, get in. But I just at the place where Jesus called Matthew, and he said, we're having a party tonight. That's not in the scripture, but you know, you had to have dialogue, of course. And he said, oh, yeah, where is it? Your house. It's like, and I thought, there he was, just like that. Jesus tells Matthew, come follow me. And he leaves his little booth. And he said, we're going to have a little get-together party tonight. And Aunt Matthew, where are we having it? Your house. And I want to bring a message on that sometime. But see, that's exactly what God does. He'll speak to you. And you're going, okay. And when are you, like, when are you going to use me? Or when was this a start? And he said, now. And it's like, Matthew, I'm not going to give you even a take. You're not going to take a breath. You're not going to give you an, it didn't say this in a movie, but that's what I saw in it. I'm not going to give you a chance to look back at that booth. We're coming to your house now, and we're going to follow through with this commitment you just made to follow me. And we're going to cement it amongst your friends. You can't go back. He does that with us a lot of times. We'll just listen if we just let him. Anyway, I'm at the point where they're at Matthew's house, and this blasted Pharisee is dogging Jesus everywhere, just dogging him and trying to find something wrong with him. And he and his buddy, I couldn't even remember his name. You remembered his name, but it's like, what are you doing sticking your nose into people's windows in the first place? But he puts his face in the window, and he confronts them. You're eating with all these sinners, and how can you do that? And you all know that story, but to see it on film, I encourage you to watch it. But I was just looking at that Pharisee, and I thought, over my 40-something years, of doing this, I've had a lot of Pharisees. And they're always sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. And I thought, one of these days, one of these years, I'm going to retire. And then some Pharisee sticks his nose in there. I'm going to knock it off. That's just my flesh. As a pastor, I can't do that. But it's like, you know, and don't take me serious. It's those feelings. Though it's like, one of these days, I'm not going to be a pastor. And the first Pharisaic person I run across, I'm tossing them in the river. And it's like, no, you're not going to do that. But I was just thinking, haven't we all had that? Somebody that just puts their nose in our business and all, and I thought, he just walks up and he's looking through the window and then judging them. You know, look, if you go looking for something, you'll find it. It may be in your own mind, but you'll find it. If you look for something long enough, you'll find it, right? If you want to find a fault in your wife or your husband, just keep looking. Well, okay, so you don't have to look. All right, but it's that obvious, okay. But it'll be there. The same thing here. You say, are you rambling? No, I'm using all this to tie in. I use the DVDs that they gave me. I can't believe it. I could not believe what I've been missing. I just not wanted to sit down and watch that stuff, but it all ties into this, and it all ties into, we're so quick to look in somebody else's window and pass a judgment, and then we run into Romans chapter 8, and that's we're going to look at verse 1, then bump over to verses 28 through 34, and I marked all this down in the wrong Bible. Sometimes I just don't know. I had, this is in the New Living Translation. I took the New International Version, marked all these verses, and then realized when I got here, what I'd done, I had that mix up out in the truck, and they got in here and they marked Mark. So thanks for loaning me your pen. I thought I marked them in the wrong Bible. You know, I don't know. One day I came here and I walked in and I was greeting everybody and sit down. We're getting close to the time for the message. And I realized, where's my Bible? I left it at home. And I thought, well, how are you going to preach when you have your Bible? So I had to borrow one from somebody. I just learned humility. You just got to have humility. I had to get up here and say, I don't have a Bible in this translation. Anyone got one? And that looks real good, right? That's so professional. But anyway, you know, after a while, you just finally say, it just doesn't matter. So here's the thing. Romans 8:1. And then we're going to bump over. But you needed this, and we'll pick it back up, because that's exactly what God does through Paul here. He starts this chapter with, there is now, therefore, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you, and then you don't have this, but I'm going to give you this, because I'm always saying, read what's before and after, but if you, just in case you don't, he said, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin and it leads to death. But catch this first verse. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Hear that. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now let's move over and tie this together. And I'm going to read all this and then we're going to break it down. This is an exegetical message. It's taking it verse by verse. If you ever wonder, are there some things left out? And I'll mention this all the time because we need to keep this in our minds. I don't have the time to do a full Bible study up here. I'm trying to get messages across. And I'm praying that you'll read before and after and study it yourself. This is only to get you started in the main meal, and then you add to it. And so you read on your own. So I try to give you what I can, but I can't. I'd love to take passages like this and just break them down, and we can't do that. So we'll get the gist of it. So we know there's no condemnation. Now, and then verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Everybody get that? Now, What did I do? Did I mess up something? No, I did mess up something here. So, God, you know, I hope I've got all this right, because I sure had trouble marking it there a while ago. And so God causes everything to work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son. Everybody get that? Is that up? That's up there, right? Did you get that right? Yeah, I'm thinking, if you got the wrong translation, what else did you mess up this time? So, you know, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brethren. So that's why things work together. We'll get to that in a moment. And having chosen them, he called them to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. All right, now what do we do? He says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? God, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Everybody needs to hear that. You say, you've hit on these before. Sure. But when God brings you back to something, you do it again. You know, and listen, if you've read something, and maybe you've read some scripture, you've read it 100 times. And then one morning you're thinking, it's on your heart, God's leading me back to, didn't read it. There's something else you need to get out of it. It's the same way in preaching. You know, just because you brought a message on something, taught something, I don't care how many times, it doesn't mean you don't have something else to learn. So back into this again, a very familiar passage. And if God's for us, who can ever be against us? A lot of you need to hear that this morning. Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us, raised to life for us, and sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And then you can go on and read the rest of it. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? I just don't, you know, we can't get it in. So let's get in what we can. First of all, I didn't know how to title this thing. God takes care of his people. God is for us. You know, it's just a hard passage. So I finally said, God is for his people. And he's for us. His people. His people. So let's get this first point. You'll never be condemned in Christ. Everybody hear that? You will not be condemned in Christ. And the key is in Christ. We started off with 8 chapter 1. And it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, who are his. There's a great deal of condemnation for those who are not. Never do I want anyone to ever, I don't want to be the cause of anyone ever doubting their salvation. But I do want to be the cause, the instrument God uses for you to be sure of your salvation. To be sure, to know. Have I asked Jesus in my heart? Do I really believe in him? Am I really, did I put my, have I put my faith in Jesus, or have I put my faith, listen, I don't want to wonder here, but let me get this, I keep my pages. Salvation, now listen, salvation comes through my putting faith in Jesus. I put my faith in his word because I put my faith in Jesus. But if you think reading the Word of God is going to save you, you're wrong. The Pharisees knew the Word at that time backwards and forwards, and they were as far from God as you could get. You know why? Because they read it and knew the letter of the law, but not the Spirit. They never let it change them. And I've had people say, I believe in the Scripture, so does the devil. And he can quote it quite well, said that last week, said it before. The difference is, have you let the Scripture change you in such a way that you asked Jesus in your heart? Did it convict you of your sins? Have you asked Jesus in your heart? And is that Scripture now living itself out and bearing fruit in your life? Do you have fruit? In other words, can people walk up to you and in just a moment of conversation realize this person is of the Lord? They belong to Christ. Without you having to tell them. And I've said to many people, many a person, and I'll say it here, if you have to tell people you're a Christian, you're not living it. I've had guys, you know, out in the shooting field or whatever, and they say, "Man, you got to know. I want you to know, Tony, I'm a good shot." And it's like, I know you're not, or you wouldn't have to tell me you are. You know, I'm a good this, I'm a good that, I'm a good swimmer, I'm a good scuba diver. And it's like, if you have to keep telling me, then you're not. Because if you're that good, I'll see it. That's what the Pharisees did, right? They'd tell our people how good a praying person they were and how good a theologian that they were. If you got to tell them, you're not. Because when you are the real thing, people know it. They see it. And they might ask you, what is it in you that makes you so different? Then you tell them. Is everybody with me? Jesus Christ is here to change us, transform us. There's no condemnation in Him. He is really here to make a difference because He wants to live in and through us so that through our lives, using us, we can make a difference. So have you asked Him in your heart? Have you looked at yourself and said, I need to repent of my sins. I got to let them go. Take them, God. I know I'm guilty of all this stuff. And He takes them. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And then what does He say? Look, you're guilty. You are destined to die. Death row. Every one of us have been on death row. Have we not? Our sins have led us right down death row. And there we were, and we didn't have an excuse. You know, have you committed adultery? No. Have you thought it? Right? I mean, I've seen so many self-righteous people, and you say, have you ever had an affair? Nope. And you never thought about having one. Never been tempted? You ever stole anything? No, sir. You ever thought about it? Jesus said, if you think it in your heart, if you lust after a person in your heart, you're just as guilty as if you did it. So, is everybody under condemnation? I'm not saying all of you have ever, you know, thought about having an affair. So I'm just saying, using that, because those are the big things I hear all the time. But if you think it, you're guilty. You ever thought of cussing somebody out? Oh, never mind. Okay. I saw too many nods there. So some of you didn't just think it, did you? Okay, well, okay. Have you ever hit someone? You ever thought, okay. Oh, there's, thank you very much. There's one that has. Anyone ever just really hits? Okay. See, there you go. Thanks, God. You know, and everybody looking at me knows I haven't. You know. You can just be around me and say, no, he's never been in a fight. If you haven't thought it, you've done it. One or the other. So there's no one that's free. Lying? Can lying send somebody to hell? Sure. If you're a habitual liar. You know? And we've all lied. And we've sure thought about lying. Here's the whole point. Let this sink in. Everybody here has been on death row. And God is sitting there as the judge, and all He had to do is strike the gavel and say, you're out. You're gone. Put them to death. This is how it happened. And what happened? Jesus Christ, born into this earth, He stands up and says, they believe in me. And so I take their sin. I take their death. I'll go to death row. I will be the substitute for them. I'll take their place. He condemned Himself. You ever thought about it? If there's no condemnation for us, there was condemnation for Him. And He suffered. And I know we hear this, especially at Easter, but we got to let it soak in. He was condemned for the condemned. I'll take their place. Would you do that? I mean, there's some people you know right now. Would you take their place? If you think in higher office right now in some places, would you take their place in judgment? No. But He did. And so He was condemned. And He was hanged with thieves. crucified with thieves. And God's saying, you put your faith in me, and you've asked forgiveness, and I forgive you, and my son Jesus has taken your death sentence. So I condemn him, and I set you free. That's why we're here. If you don't get anything else, get that. He was condemned to set a condemned man free. How about that? And I deserved every bit of it, and he didn't deserve anything. Now, I was born in sin, weren't you? No, none of you were, huh? You're just all looking at me saying, you were? Yeah, you know, weren't we all? That's what Scripture teaches. We're born in sin. We learned to sin real early. And it just goes from there. I know that you look at me and think, he was probably such an innocent, gentle little kid, and every mother would have loved to have had him. I was a terror. I got mad at a bunch of my cousins one time. We had a little boat dock, you know. We didn't, but the guy that owned the place where we lived, he had a little, we called a boathouse, and we went in there and we fished for crappie in that place. We put these willow branches and stuff down on the bottom, and I'd draw crappie and we'd fish there. And I've eaten a lot of crappie, I want you to know. Somebody says, you don't eat crappie today. It's like, I like them, but I don't want to eat them. We grew up on them. But I got mad at a bunch of my cousins, and I have a bunch of cousins. Last time I looked, there was 90 some odd of us, and we're still growing out there. But I got mad at them, and they were in a boathouse, and I left the boathouse, and I got me a big pile of rocks. And that had the boat ramp that slumped down to the boathouse sitting on the water. And I stood up there at the head of the boat dock, or the ramp, and every time one to stick their head, they're trying to get out of the boat, they wanted to come out, and every time one stick his head out, I throw a rock at them. And I love those flat rocks. You can sell a flat rock. And that was rocks dinging off. They still remind me of it. We'll have a family reunion or something, and they'll say, I'm glad you're a pastor, because you were the meanest kid, and I wouldn't let them out there. And finally, one of the uncles, heard all this banging rocks hitting that tin boathouse and came down there and beat the dickens out of me and let them out of the boathouse. That's how early I learned to sin. I wasn't that old. I could throw a rock. Friends, here's the point. We're born in sin. We sin all of our lives to the place where we're convicted by God's Holy Spirit, and we ask Jesus in our heart, repent of our sins. And he's taken that. How could he? You know, taking a rock throwing, cussing, high-tempered, whatever it is in your own life, but that's mine. Angry. I was an angry kid. I had lots of anger. And I showed it at school. I really did. I just would act up, and now I learned it was acting out because I had all this aggression inside of me. Got beat in school all the time. Does anybody here, did you ever get a whipping in school when they used to paddle kids? Anybody ever get paddled? You got paddled? Oh my, you did? Did you, who else rose the hand? Anybody? Oh, you did? You did? Oh my goodness. Did you get paddled very often? Oh, you did. I got a rough crowd here. All right. This crowd really needs Jesus. I'm glad you found him. Anyway, yeah, I did too. I got my first whipping in the first grade. That goes well. And got whipped every grade up and through my freshman year for something or another. I thought that I didn't deserve it. Every criminal believes that, right? They're not guilty. It was their fault. Here's the point, so we can move on from this. You'll never be condemned in Christ. Sitting there on death row, all the cussing, all the anger, all the hurting people, all telling people off, all the things, and there's Jesus Christ, and he stands up and says, for this dirty, rotten person here, I love them, they're made in my image, and I'm not going to let them go to hell. And they put their faith in me, and although they deserve it, I will take their place on the cross. I'm not going to hell either, but I'm going to take the sins that should have sent them to hell, and I'll take their place, and I'll die for them. I can't fathom it, can you? But I accept it. I believe in it. I believe in Jesus and what he did, because there's no way that my mind can comprehend that he would do that, but I know he did. And I thank him for it. So now, we might still suffer consequences, human consequences. I've had people that don't understand. They say, I asked Jesus in my heart. You say he's taken my place on the cross. Then why am I still having to deal with whatever that I, because of what I've done? It never said he'd take away the human consequences or what the law has to deal out. He's taken away the consequences of eternal damnation. Is everybody with me? Sometimes they're just human consequences. I'm sorry, but sometimes for what you've done before you accept Christ, or even after, he'll forgive you. There's no condemnation. But don't confuse that with there's still the law. There's still things that have to be taken care of. And don't think that that's God judging you to hell. That's man's system, and you still have consequences. And there's the discipline of God that we'll get into another time, but we still undergo that, but you'll never be sent to hell. And that's what he's saying. There's no condemnation to you. So let's move on to the second thing. You know, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. I just put up here, you know, you'll never be condemned in Christ, and then God will come. God will come. And what does that mean? Listen to me. There's so much good here. And we need to remember it. Don't confuse with God turning good, something bad into good. Don't confuse that with God, you know, not allowing the bad to happen in the first place. Everybody with me? Let me say it this way. It says he causes all things to work to the good. It doesn't mean that everything bad that happens is good. And I've had people get upset about that and say, I thought he turns it to the good. That's right. He turns it to the good. He'll work it out in God's way of working miracles and doing things. He'll take whatever it is that's really bad for you and he'll turn it into good. But don't think that everything that happens is good, and don't think that everything that happens to you that God sent it to happen. And I kind of got wrapped around myself there trying to explain it the right way, but God, you know, when something happens to you, it's not all God punishing you. And I've had to say, I've heard this, some of you may have said this, but we've all heard it from people to say, yeah, God just sent this thorn, God just sent this illness, God sent this cancer. Really? Where do you read that in Scripture? Oh, yeah, I'm standing up here, I'm going, oh, there's one, I'm going to send a lightning bolt of ailments to them. Boom. Now, love me. That's not what he does. But I'll tell you this. Now listen to me. The devil, using corrupted mankind, will stand there and try to sling that at you. And we suffer a lot of things because of the corruption and the crud the devil's brought into this world. God doesn't go around breaking arms, tearing off fingers. But the enemy does. The world does. And listen, we do. We do it ourselves. Sometimes I want to blame God for stuff I did myself. Is anybody here ever married the wrong? No, don't say that. Did you in the past marry the wrong person? Presently, we know it's wonderful, but did you ever make that mistake in your life? Okay. Did you do a business deal and no? Find out later? Make an investment? Do something like that? It's a bad deal. Did you ever take a job and as soon as you took it, before you took it, you knew. But as soon as you got in there, you knew. This was not of God. Did you ever do that? I think we've all done it. Then when our pride gets in the way and our ego and all this stuff, and we're going to stick with it and find it out. Listen, then we get mad at God and say, why did you let me take that job? Why did you let me marry that person? Well, because the only way to keep you from it would have been I'd had to kill you. I mean, I've had to try to do enough premarital counseling and all that kind of stuff. Don't try to talk somebody out of getting married. I would be just as well off to talk to this post right there. I can point out all the things that in this here that I'm seeing that these two aren't compatible, and all they're going to do is get mad at you. And so, you know, you get old and crusty like I am, you can say, well, you can marry for hell or you can marry for heaven. Apparently y'all like hell, so go ahead and marry each other. This is it. Things happen. And don't blame God, because God loves you and He's not going to send evil into your life, and God can't even be tempted with evil. And so when something happens to you, and I've been through this in my own life in my past, where I felt like, why did you send this? No, God said, I didn't send it. Man's corrupted this earth. The stuff you eat, the stuff you drink, that a lot of places you go and the air you breathe is all can pollute your system and mess you up. I had to fill out a form here not long ago with the VA. They want to know if I'd ever been around anything toxic. Are you kidding? Toxic? You're gonna be joking me, right? And the nurse or that the guy was saying, and I said, yeah. He said, well, what with the toxic? I was like, a gas, propellants, off of shells, machine gun rounds, all the mortar round. I said, I breathed all this. I said, I drank water that tasted like it came right out of the swamp. Probably dead. You know, we all have this. Like, if you've ever been around anything toxic, in the military, but what I'm saying is, of course, I think all that stuff doesn't have probably some effect or could have. Did God do that? No. Yeah, I sit there and laughed. It just hit me. They haven't given you that form, they will. If you've had to do that, okay, you don't use a VA? Okay, that's why. They want to know if you've been around anything toxic. You're sitting there going, oh, I just smelled cordite day in and day out, and all the residue from all this stuff. And the point being, people do things to us. The environment does things to us. Life does things to us. Yeah, we eat stuff that's contaminated. We do dumb things. Anyway, don't blame God for that, but also look to God to bring good from whatever, even if we do it to ourselves. This is the neat thing about Christianity. Even if I do something to myself, God is saying, yes, it may hurt. Yes, you may emotionally bleed a while or physically or whatever, but I'm going to come on the scene and I'm going to start making good even out of a mess you made for yourself. And everybody take that and rejoice in it. It's not a license to go goof up, but it is saying, Tony, God understands our mortal frame. And He understands that from time to time, we're just stupid. Aren't we? We just do the dumbest things. I was washing dishes. Why do you do this? I don't have a dishwasher. I do have a dishwasher. It's me. Now, I was washing the dishes. And I realized, and I shouldn't tell you this, but this is one of those moments. I'm so scrupulous. I'm so careful. You watch. You teach safety and all. And what did I do? I'm standing there and I'm washing these dishes. I looked up, all that toaster's still plugged in. And I reached up there and jerked it out. And then it hit me. You could just hear the angels in heaven going, stupid. There's water all over my hand. And so I had the sponge over here and this, and I just pulled the plug. And God said, way to go, boy. That away. Here's the point. This is freeing. Even if I'm stupid, even if I blunder and I just disobey and I have to go through the discipline of it and all of, there's bad come from it. God says, don't you worry. I still love you. And you may hurt for a bit, but listen, I'm coming. And the next time things are happening for you, you say those words, He's coming. And He's going to make good come from this, even if I did it to myself. There's no exclusion there. God is going to make something good from, and you turn your heart over to Him. You confess to him that you blew it, or somebody else messed this up, or you don't know why you have what you have, because God's coming. He's going to work in everything for your good. It doesn't mean that what happened to you is good, but he's sure going to make something good from it. You're going to see good things happen. This message is meant to be from the Lord and be encouraging today. We've had some hard messages lately, and then God, I could see God just leading in this, saying, come on, give him encouragement. I'm not going to let anybody down. I know things in the world look bad right now. Things all around us look bad. You don't know what to think. But he knows. If you're not sure what's going to happen, you're not sure what to do, ask God about it. He'll either put it in your heart, the answer, or he'll show you in his word where the answer is. That he's working for your good. And evil and the sinful human nature and all these things. And listen, it's all at work out there, but God is not to be dethroned. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care who calls himself dictator, monarch, king, queen, president, whatever they are. They are nothing compared to God. God is over all, and God knows what's going on. And you appeal to God, and he will come through. He's coming. He's coming. Well, he is. I'm glad you like that. Thank you very much. The rest of them are still thinking about it. And listen to this. And he says, I'm going to make this work to good because I called you. Now, I don't have time to just read this, but I'll just go through it. And we went through it a while ago, and he says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's what we just said. Because, listen to this, though. God knew his people, next verse, in advance. He knew in advance who would accept him. He chose you to become like his son. So his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, that's you, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing. That's what he's done. There's no condemnation. He's made given you right standing, which is what? His righteousness in your heart and life. And then he gave you them right standing and gave you his glory. What does that mean? He's given you a spirit that'll never die, and you're going to get a new body. You guys don't have to worry about that right now. You get to my age and you're thinking a new body might be okay. This one's kind of cut up, beat up, and a new one. And then now, you know, what you start doing is saying, now, let me start looking and see who would I like to look like when I get that new body. Now, yeah, don't go there. Don't go there. It's a heavenly body. You know, I have to say this. There used to be movie stars, you know, you look at and you say, well, if I had, you know, today I look at them and say, I don't want to look like that. You think they're all big, hefty, and all, you know, they're just using, you know, the artificial intelligence, they're using, you know, computer. They don't look anything like that. They can, you know, you got, it's out of my league, but you can enhance anything with a computer, can't you? You can make all of us look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, or like he used to look. And they do this to people. They put muscles on Rocky. You know, it's like, man, I wish I could do that for real. But here's the point. Here's the point. God, listen, God is here to make you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And the reason he says, I promise, I'm going to work all things to the good so that you will become like my son, Jesus. That's what it is. And I've given you my glory. I've given you the glorification of myself. You're not going to die. You're just going to pass from one body to another when you put your faith in me. Now you keep that hope. I know you've heard this, but God just said, bring it again. My people need encouragement, so I'm bringing it again. And now, here's a good thing here. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? He says, I want you to know that no matter who comes against you, no matter who accuses you, no matter who attacks you, look, he said, you just remember, I'm for you. I'm not for everything you say and do. I mean, if I'm going to go sin against him, he's not going to be for my sin, but he's still for me. And he's saying, if all the world turns against you, because you're my child in Jesus Christ, your faith in Christ, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from every sin, He's saying, I am for you. And don't you forget it. No matter what else happens in this life, you don't you forget that God is for you. And listen, just because you think you're not good enough or not deserving doesn't mean that God isn't for you. He is. Some of the neatest servants of God, or most of them that I've ever known, felt they weren't deserving. They weren't good enough. And they weren't. God uses people not good enough to do perfection. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I'm not good enough to be up here. But God is. And God takes not good enough people and does a miraculous thing through them. Was David good enough? Look at these people. Moses, Abraham, any of them? Man, they were... They're people, if you met them right now, we read them and we read the good signs, we just read them. But if you were with them, you might not like some of them. But God says, they're not good enough, but I am. And God uses not good enough people to do a great thing. And that's what He's doing in me and doing in you. Amen. Don't you forget it. God is for you because of your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And now let's wrap this up, because there's two things left that you need to know. I need to know them. We all need to know them. When I was working through this, and I say working through it, and trying to study this out, and saying, don't get too deep, Tony. That's one of my problems. Sometimes I want to get too deep in this. That's good for class, but not always for message, you know, and getting everybody's going, huh? He's just simply saying this. Look, I got to ask him myself, you know, and I guess maybe the Lord was questioning, you know, how He'll put thoughts in your head and your mind, and it's like, have you ever been accused of anything, son? Have you ever been condemned? It's like, I've been accused of more stuff in my life. Haven't you? As a Christian, you're always going to be accused. You know who your biggest accuser is, right? Go to the book of Revelation. Did you know in the book of Revelation it tells you who your biggest accuser is? It's the devil. And it says he accuses you day and night before the Lord. And he uses people to bring accusations. It's like, Tony, is there anything you haven't been accused of? Not that I know of. I really have. Over the years, accused of everything. You can't do this job and not be accused of stuff. You're just going to get accused. And you're going to get condemned. Has anybody ever condemned any of you? You ever felt condemned by someone? Has anyone ever told you to go somewhere you didn't want to go? Ever told you, I hope you die? You know, think about it. And he says this, since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give you everything else? And he will. And who dares accuse you whom God has chosen for his own? Listen, there are going to be people come into your life and they're going to accuse you. They're going to testify against you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say that you said this, did that, and looked this way, and didn't wear the right clothes, whatever. But God says, you just turn to me, and because of your faith in Jesus Christ, who dares accuse you whom God has chosen for his own? He's saying this, no one. He's not saying no one is going to never say anything, but no one can legitimately accuse you before God, because he's already set you free. So when people start attacking you or for your faith, and they will, and as time goes along, things will happen the way it's headed right now, you just stand there and say, bring it on. Because God is for me, and you can't do anything but just open your mouth and say words. I am sealed in God's book of life. God loves me. And you can hate me all you want, but God loves me all he wants. That's our hope. Man, I hope this is encouraging to you. You're so quiet. This ought to be exciting to you. You said, it is. We just heard it before. I know, me too. I told God that. I did. You know, I told him. I said, they've heard this before. And it's, you know what God does when I do that? Nothing. I can tell him, you know, whatever that I think, and he didn't do anything about it. He just simply says, Just do it. I put you there. I'm not letting you get on anything else. You do this. Somebody needs to hear this today. I need to hear it myself. Let me close with this. He's given you right standing. He's given you his righteousness. Who will condemn you, by the way? You know, who dares accuse you? What are they going to accuse you of? By the way, before I get to condemnation, I need to say this. Somebody will eventually accuse you of something that you've done or said in your past. Anybody been there? Yeah? Yeah. Your response, biblically, should be this right here. Yes. Don't argue. Don't defend yourself. I used to do that. I did. I've defended myself in the past when I was younger. Didn't know better. And I start trying to explain things. And finally, it's like, why are you doing that? Why don't you just look them in the eye and say, yes, I did say that. Yes, I thought that. You're right. I did have that spell. I did that. And I came to Christ with it. And I confessed it. And he forgave me for it. And now he doesn't accuse me anymore. There's no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. That's your answer, because there's not. You're forgiven. You're forgiven for what you did this morning on the way to church. Everything in your life. Now, I'm not saying you did anything, but if you wanted to, you're forgiven for it. Do you hear me on this? Your past now doesn't matter. Not to God. What matters is today. Let him forgive you. Let him hold you in his arms. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you. I don't care. You know, we've all done bad in the past. Me? Everybody, a lot of you know me here from a long time back. I left the Lord. I wasn't going to pastor anymore, and you've heard that. And I went out there and I lived pretty much like a guy who wasn't going to pastor anymore. Just so he wouldn't call me back. And I found out one thing. When God wants you, God wants you, and I don't care what you do, he's going to get you. I was telling him, I'm not coming back. And he was just going, come on. You can fight me till you collapse, but you're coming. I called you to do what I'm doing right here. And it's like, you're not getting away. I don't care. You can tell me, oh, I've done this and I've done that and I'm living this bad life. Come on. You know what God put in my heart? I'm really good at reaching down in the gutters. I've been reaching in the gutters all eternity. So come on, boy. You got in this big hole, and I know exactly where you are, and I'm going to get you out. And that's what he's saying to every one of us. And he's going to take you out of that pit and put you from the low ground on the higher ground, and he's going to put you with his glory, I'm telling you. And it's like, what is the word justified mean? It says we're justified before him, just as if I'd never sinned. There you go. That's what it is. And so let's close with this. Really, we're closing this time. Was that the third time I said that? Okay, we're going to really do it this time. Who then will condemn you? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. And listen to this. What? Accusation is saying, judge, this person stole. That's accusing. Condemning is, and I think the penalty should be death. Prison. So you see, accusing and condemnation, that, you know, that's judging. Accusing and judging, they go together. So when I'm judging you, I'm saying you did something. But condemning is assigning you the penalty for what I believe you did. And so he's saying here that somebody may accuse you, and then they may assign a penalty to you for what you've done. You don't ever deserve to come back in this house again. You don't ever deserve to be a part of this family. You don't ever, and a blah, blah, blah. And God is saying, that's all right. If they don't want you in their family, look up. I've already put you in mine.
And I'm going to wait on you at the heavenly feast. You're one of my people. There's a feast in heaven waiting for you when you get there. They may not want you here, but I want you there. And in the meantime, quit looking at them and start looking at me. Get happy, get joyful, get good, because I am for you. And nobody, nobody can be against you. Now let's pray and go home. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the goodness of it. We thank you, Father, that that's exactly what it says. You're for us. You're going to work it all to the good. Nobody, nobody, nobody. They can accuse us, but they can't do anything else. And they can condemn us, but they can't send us anywhere. We're in your book of life. We have heaven, and we have you right now to help us through this life, no matter what this life or hell or people or anything else throws at us. You are bigger than this earth. You're bigger than our problems. You've already won this victory. We take your victory over the flesh, the world, the devil, put it in our hearts, and we walk from this place today knowing that God is for us, and nobody can be against us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.